Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win.
Through the city where the legends play, Chi-town vibes on a sunny day. Big red bus with the seats in line, talking Bulls all day, we stay on the grind. Rolling down the lane in the big red bus, see Red, Fred, and Doug bring the Bulls to discuss. From the Jordan days to the present fuss, it's gold in the convo, so ride with us.
Everybody, welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red the Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago on a beautiful, cool, late summer day. I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's a great one, Doug Tonis. How
I mean,
you
after
doing,
that
brother?
Intro of the Big Red Bus, I think maybe I'm your buddy Luigi or something. Are we doing like Super Mario Brothers and First Nations? I'm not sure what's going on here.
Oh, Luigi, that guy. I thought you were talking for a second about that that assassin, corporate assassin.
that's an entirely different way to go. But yeah, I think that's correct. But no, you went a little Italian on the intro. Am I mistaken? I feel like you went a big red bus. Like it just sounded very Super Mario Brothers accent.
I'm excited because Doug, today's the first day I've actually been able to get up. Like in a week, I've had diverticulitis. Have you ever heard of this condition? It is not fun.
I do know what it is. I've never had it. I agree. It's not fun.
I have a mild case. I can't even imagine what some people go in the hospital for. I can't even imagine what a severe case is. I've been like just lying down. Every move you make, you're sore. It's like basically from your belly button to your groin. It's just a sore, bleh. You know, you just have no energy to do anything but, you know, read Bulls news and just think about better days. But today's the first day in a while that I'm actually feeling a little bit better. So I'm back on my feet, ready to rock and roll, which is good because I got some traveling over the next couple of days. But first of all, we're both playing hurt. You're hurt too. What's your condition?
I mean, I don't know that I'm hurt. Just for whatever reason, and for no reason, I woke up at 2:30 in the morning. And I just couldn't go back to sleep. And then I just like, I told you
in
text, that's what happened.
I thought you said you were sick. I said I wasn't feeling
so great. And then you're like, you explained your condition. And I said like, no, I just have lack of sleep. I'm just tired because I slept for like four hours.
That.
And it is what it is. That's okay. I don't pay attention to air text either. So, I mean, I think we're good. That's why the show is so great.
Well, in this scenario, then, I am the Willis Reed of Bulls podcast.
You are the Willis Reed. I am not the Willis Reed. I agree. I'm Paul Pierce getting carried out on a wheelchair for like no reason. That's who I am in this context.
Let's get to the big news. First of all, you're going on the legendary CHGO show this week. I cannot wait. Share with us the details if you can.
I don't know any details. I haven't gotten any. Dave just texted me. He's like, hey, dude, you want to come on the show? I'm like, I'd love to. And then he's like, yeah, we'll set you up for Friday. So we were trying to get me in studio, but I couldn't come in. I'm downtown Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then, you know, tomorrow I'm actually presenting on our firm-wide call for the first time. So, you know, that'll be fun.
Oh, you're calling in? You're not coming on the show?
No, I can't make it in on a Friday at rush hour. Like, that's just a little bit much to make it through the suburbs. So I'll be phoning in. I'm going to hopefully next time, if I perform well enough, I don't know that I could perform up to see Red Fred standards where I get multiple invites. I mean, like, you know, this is my first invite. So I gotta knock it out of the park to get back on the show. But yeah, I hope next time we can make a Tuesday or Thursday work and I can come into the studio, which would be a lot more.
That's kind of cool, but I am disappointed here. You're not going to actually be in the studio. I will say like, I have been a little bit hurt. I always hear GOAT. I love that show, by the way. I think it's the Casey Johnson pod and that one are my two favorites, I would say. And, you know, Collie's got a good one. Everybody does a great job with their pods who cover the Bulls for the most part. But I will say, like, that's probably my favorite. I can't even believe the work they're doing because there's, like, no news and they've been doing a show for, like, every month and I still listen to everyone and find some enjoyment in it. So they do a great job. But GOAT's always bringing up one of your points. That you make on the BRB, never, ever hear him say, well, you know, Fred made this incredible point. And I'm the guy who's right 93% of the time. That's what really irritates me. I got to admit, man. I can't believe it. He never brings it up. So,
have you considered that maybe we agree 93% of the time and I'm right an extra 5% of the time?
The audacity. You're 98%.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just throwing it out there.
I guess it's probably possible.
Probably not. Probably not. We actually just don't talk about anything we agree on, right? We only talk about the things we disagree on, because if we talked about the stuff we agreed on all the time, it'd be pretty boring.
All right. Well, I got a topic for you on Friday.
Fantastic.
A summer topic. Okay. You ready for this?
Okay. So, I don't know that I'm picking the topics, but okay. We'll see how it goes.
This has to be brought up with GOAT, because somebody needs to figure out what's going on here. All right. So I mentioned in a recent episode, I went out with some college friends. If you're interested, if you still want to hear the story, the pod, send it to credfred@gmail.com. I sent out about over 200 of them, but if anyone still hasn't got it, I'll send that out. When Mark and I had that special episode, but regardless, because it can't be for public display.
I'm cringing in embarrassment. Like, you ever watch that scene in Swingers where like the guy calls the girl, like, and he leaves a message on the machine?
I've never seen Swingers five times.
And it's like one of these scenes, like when you watch it and you see it the second time, you can't watch because you're just so horrified that you know it's coming. This is how I feel right now when you reference this story. But okay, go on.
So this is an important question that needs to be asked to the Chicago Bulls. So I went out with my high school friends last week, right before I started feeling sick, and probably because they reminded me of what happened of when I was a senior in high school. I was on the baseball team, St. Lawrence, Go Vikings, state champs, by the way, this year. So I was a third baseman, Doug. And you know, like when we were playing Mount Carmel, and you know when the guy shows the bunt, what you're supposed to do as a third baseman, what are you supposed to do?
I don't know anything about baseball. I'd imagine supposed to like take a couple steps forward. I don't know.
You take a full sprint in to get the bunt. So the guy shows bunt, full sprint from third base. I'm about 10 feet from him at the point the pitch is released, pulls the bunt back, takes a full swing, and hits a rocket line drive, one bounce right into my groin at 110 miles an hour.
Oh my
so
God.
The ball hits my cup, hits it on an angle where the ball actually bounced off the side of, so kind of like the ball actually went over our fans on the third base line. It literally went up about 40 feet in the air and went over the stand. Everybody heard the crack. It cracked my cup, but I was fine because I was wearing a cup. Man, I was so grateful for that cup. Like, I'd sound like talking to you like I was a BG.
I really want
to
know where this is going.
I'm a big believer in cups. Like, I wore cups every basketball game I ever played. I would sometimes think about wearing cups in public. Like, you know, like wearing a cup on a Saturday night, you think something's going to go down, you know, like a fight or something. I always thought about wearing a cup.
Big fan of Anna Kendrick.
Have you worn a cup? You've worn a cup, right?
No, I've not worn. I've not worn a cup, actually.
You've never worn a cup once? Not even one time?
No, not even one time.
Okay, all right. Well, guess what? You got a lot in common with where I'm going with this. Okay. So I called my son and I'm like, I just started thinking, I'm driving home. I'm like, you know, I never asked my son if he wears a cup. And call him, you know, because he was on varsity basketball as a sophomore last year. He's never worn a cup in his life playing basketball.
Why would you wear a cup playing basketball?
Because you ever take a charge? If a guy's running into you at 30 miles an hour with a knee, I've taken a charge, and it's if you get hit in the groin, guess what? You could do serious damage. I spend most of my life trying to avoid that, Doug, like getting hit. So anyhow, I do research, Doug. Get this.
Okay.
Approximately 0% of NBA players, maybe 1%, wear a cup. Is that not the most insane? What? You're not surprised by this?
No.
I want you to talk to the GOAT and ask him the next time he sees Io or anybody, ask him, hey, how's your summer? Going good? Do you wear a cup? I want to know if there's anybody on the Bulls who wears a cup. Because I am just shocked. Do you know 25% of NFL players don't wear one?
You know what I think is great about this? Is you texted me this morning and you're like, we got to do a show today. I got something important to talk about. And I have a feeling that this is what it is. Like you woke up this morning and you said, you know what I have to do? I have to share the story about how no one wears a cup. And damn it, I need answers. I just feel like that's where I think that's like you just woke up today. And that was what came into your head is like, I need the truth. I need answers. Like Doug, ask the goat. We need to get to the bottom of the situation. You know, I think you should ask your buddy Joe on Twitter. I think Joe will do the research for you.
Joe's going to say something like, oh, what are you, you know, I'm sure it's going
to be. I know. That's why I want you to ask. That's why I want you to ask Joe, because I think the thread would be hilarious.
One of these beat writers
You didn't take the bait. It would have been amazing if you did, but too smart for me there. Too smart for me there. Okay.
Honestly, though, I cannot believe that doesn't surprise you. Everybody listening
why,
to this.
Why would it not surprise me, given that I just told you I've never worn a cup in my life?
Well, because you're not a professional athlete. Like, professional athletes are playing.
Okay, but clearly if I've never worn a cup, I wouldn't think people are wearing cups. I play a ton of basketball. Like, I've played, like, I don't know, thousands of hours of basketball. Never thought I should wear a cup.
I played in games with you. A couple of those games that we played at, I was wearing a cup. Yes, I was wearing a cup. One game specifically, I hit about 30 in a row. There was one game we played at the, what was that place by you, the YMCA? YMCA, I had a real hot game. I remember
I was wearing
a cup
game
that day. And you did know you, what? Part
you,
of the reason
do
I
you
played
like
so well
not
is because
wash
I felt
the
so
cup
free.
Afterwards? What? Do you like, has it become your lucky cup? Do you not wash it? Like, do you?
No, it's not.
I'm just curious. Like, I just want to see how far this goes.
It's my lucky cup. I always had great feelings about it. Like, I always felt like, oh man, just like you could take on the world. How many fights have you been in your life? Have you ever been in?
I've been in
a throwdown.
I've been in one legitimate fight in my life.
Okay, I've been in about five my whole life, and every one of those fights, 98% of my moves were done to protect my groin. So, like, I would say if I had a cup on, I would have been totally free to use any other counter attacks. I felt like a new man. Like when I remember when I would walk on a baseball field, I felt impenetrable because I had a nice sturdy cup on. And then when I played basketball too. Anyhow, we'll get to the bottom of this. I want you to talk to the goat.
You said a 25-minute podcast, and we've spent 12 minutes talking about how much you love wearing a cup. This is fantastic, fantastic content.
It's like that scene in Anchorman, too. I mean, it does help there. That, you know the scene I'm talking about? Must be the pleat in the pants. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm...
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not that familiar with Anchorman. I did see it once, but I didn't. I don't.
You got to go watch it again. Here's another good segue.
Okay.
Before we get into basketball, and we got the last thing. My wife's cousin's daughter. She's a junior in college. Is staying with us this week. Guess where she's from?
I don't know. The Philippines.
Australia.
Okay.
Australia. She lives in Australia. So she shows up right away. I didn't even know this. Like, I knew there was somebody come to stay with us, but I didn't know you're right. My wife's from the Philippines, but her cousin is from the Philippines. They moved to Australia when she was like 10. I asked her 30 questions, and right around question number 31, I asked her if she knew Marque from Australia, and she didn't. Big surprise. But Josh Giddey is very popular down there. She was very aware of him, very well known. And she did not know, though, however, Luke Longley, for what it's worth.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know where to go with this. Like, that's good to know that a 22-year-old girl who was not alive when Luke Longley played does not know who he is, but does know who someone her own age is that is super popular in Australia today. That is riveting news.
Dude, I wish you were there for dinner when I asked her if she knew who Mark from Australia was.
This was like
question 30.
This sounds like when I tell someone I got my MBA from U of I, and then they just name someone who went to U of I, and they're like, do you know this person? Like, with no context of whether we were there at the same time or in the same program or anything else. Like, oh, I knew somebody who went to U of I. Like, okay, all yeah. Right. Like, that's like 300,000 people a year. I mean, Australia is much bigger than that. So your question is even more insane. But
well, here's the point. Okay. Here's the point of the question, which I was blown away with. You ready? So she knew who Josh Giddey was. So that
okay.
Was
okay.
I assumed Australia, since it's a continent, had a ton of people. Do you know how many people live in Australia?
I mean, I don't know. Like 30 million, 40 million?
27 million. How did you get this? That's incredible. Yeah, 27 million.
Well, to be honest, I would have guessed way more, except you started with it's not that many people. And then I'm like, all right, it's way less than I think. What's a number that's way less than I think? And then I came up with 30 million. So I would have probably said like 100 million had you not given me the lead in there.
All right. Well, enough of this. I just wanted to point that out. She doesn't know Mark Kay from Australia, but she did know Josh Giddey. All right. Now we're going to play our game, our weekly game.
All right. Weekly game. Just started. New game. I like this game.
I think I need to text it to you, right, first?
Yeah, yeah. You got to text it to me.
I didn't do that? I'm going to text it to you right now, and I'll edit out this quick pause.
Oh, I mean, you can keep the quick pause in there. It's fine, you know. Fred is going to text me an NBA roster right now, so I can see it. You just work on the text. I don't trust you to do technology and speak at the same time.
I just sent it to you.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Oh, Jesus. Drop my mic. Oh, my gosh. So we're 17 minutes in, haven't talked 1 minute of Bulls basketball. All right, so there, the 1983-84 Portland Trail Blazers. All right? They had the great Jack Ramsey. Oh, the doctor. The doctor. He was so smart. He was such a genius. Nobody ever mentions how he passed on Jordan. Rick Adelman. You see him, assistant coach? You see that?
Yeah, I see him.
Are you looking at it now?
I'm looking at the photo. I got it up.
Ron Culp looks a little weird. Kenny Carr, Wayne Cooper, Jeff Lamp. I'll send out the picture later, everybody. Lafayette Lover. All right. The one guy who's missing on here is Clyde Drexler. Look at bottom right. Jim Paxson, John Paxson's brother.
How do you send me a roster without Clyde Drexler on it?
I know. I don't know why he wasn't in the picture, but Clyde Drexler was on that
team. It kind of feels like the most important person on the roster by like a ton. 83-84, Portland Trail.
83-84. Now, keep in mind, the reason I sent you this, because this is the team before the 84 draft, and we all know who was drafted in the 1984 draft.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think now. So this is the team before the 84 draft. The Portland Trail Blazers had the number 2 pick. So they obviously had to be pretty bad. I'm trying to think of
the lottery.
No, I mean, I'm trying to think of the lottery rules at that point in time. Because they've changed it. I don't know if that was the era where they had the envelopes still, because that was the famous Patrick Ewing thing with the frozen envelopes. I don't know if they're still in the envelope era in this point. If they were, they would have had to have been bottom 7, because only the bottom 7 teams were in the envelope era. So I'm still going to think they had to be pretty bad. I'm not an expert on 80s basketball, but like I've heard of 2 people on this, maybe 3 people. I've heard of Jim Paxson, but I didn't know he actually played. I thought we just had him as a nepotism hire.
Are you serious? He was really good, Jim Paxson. He was like,
yeah, I'm sure he was amazing. I heard of Kermit Washington only because wasn't he the dude who like broke Rudy Tomjanovich's like nose and like changed the whole NBA like fighting
rules? That's correct. Was killed. That's correct. Absolutely right.
And I've heard of Clyde Drexler, who's actually not in the image. So I'm going to say they were bad. You've hinted that maybe they're better than I think. So I'm going to say 31 wins.
All right. I'll let you revise your pick after I tell you how they got the second overall pick. Here's the sequence of how the Blazers got the second overall pick.
Oh, was this like a crazy trade or something?
It started in 1976.
Very sneaky.
The trade with Indiana. The Blazers traded center Moses Malone, who they acquired from the ABA Utah Stars, to the Buffalo Braves. Buffalo then flipped Malone to the Houston Rockets for draft picks. As a part of these deals, Portland ended up with the 1978 first-round pick from the Indiana Pacers via Buffalo. The pick protection delay Indiana's 1978 pick was top 12 protected, so the Blazers didn't get it that year. The obligation rolled over year after year until finally in 1984 it conveyed unprotected. So think about that. They had this trade in the late 70s all the way to 84. The Indiana was able to keep it, but it was actually Indiana's pick, the second overall one, which I never knew until we played this game. In the 1984 draft lottery, just a coin flip system back then for the top spots, the pick conveyed as the number two overall selection. So it was a coin flip.
A coin flip system. The Blazers used it. They went from the envelopes to a coin flip? I thought they went from the envelopes to... I now feel like I got to research this. I told you anything before 1990, I'm like really weak on. But that's interesting.
1980 okay. was definitely a coin flip because the okay. Bulls lost that coin flip for Magic Johnson. It might have been 79. I can't remember 79.
Maybe it was a coin flip in a case of a tied record.
Portland's 1984 number two pick wasn't their own. It was originally Indiana's. So they got it through that chain of events. But the reason Portland passed on Jordan was because they already had number one, Clyde Drexler, and Jim Paxson, John's brother. So in a way, Paxson allowed us to get Jordan, the family Pax. What a story. What a story. The things you learn. That team was 48-34. 48-34, and they had the second overall pick. Can you imagine if they would have taken Jordan? Oh, my God.
I did better last time. You know, we had 1-for-2.
Yeah. Well, isn't this the best game ever? I mean,
it's a fun game. It's a fun game. I would have no, like I said, before 19, we were talking about it. I was like, you know, before anything after 2000 is like probably too easy. You know, it's just like too much in my wheelhouse if I watched so much NBA. And then anything before 1990 is almost like a random guess because it's like I just have no way to place like how good anyone is or where they were in their career. And then like the 90s is where I feel like, probably it's like it's got some wiggle room or maybe I'm correct. Like, whatever. You knew the good teams in the 90s, but if you name the mediocre teams and the bad teams, it's like hard to, put those.
Yeah. I actually think I might have a little bit of a problem with the period that I was in such a depression from like 2000 to you really got into the team like when I think 04, 05, right? And
no, actually it was like 2002, I think, was the first year I was a season ticket holder.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was a little later than that.
Yeah, so I started 2004 was like my favorite year because of the, it's the year they did, finally did well. But 2002 was my first year as a season ticket holder.
Was Jalen Rose on that team?
I was there in the Jalen Rose era. You know, it may have been even 2001. It was Elton Brand, second season was the...
I thought he was fantastic. That was a big mistake moving him. Everybody's like, well, he didn't do anything in the West. Yeah, the West was loaded. They had tons of great teams. Sacramento Kings, Lakers, all Houston, all those teams were really good.
So it would have been the 2000-2001 season was my first year. So second half of that year. I got it like post-All-Star break. Season tickets that year, and then I was like, and kept them after that. So,
anyhow, let's move on. I do want to go over so two quick things and we'll wrap it up.
We're actually going to talk about the Bulls then, though. We got
let's go into Bulls.
I want 25 minutes. We're going to finally get to a Bulls topic. It's amazing.
I want to go over your Josh Giddey analysis of the break even point because I'm not great at math and I wasn't really getting it for a while. So I know how intelligent I am. I can only imagine how some simpletons and mouth breathers, when they saw it, would feel. Could you explain it to me a little bit? Go over all your right. tweet and the impetus sure. behind it.
So this is an old one. It's from July 4th. But what I did is I posted if the Bulls offer like different ranges, this is how much Josh Giddey would need to make per year the following year to break even. So if the Bulls offer $20 million AAV, which is what they presently have on the table, Josh Giddey breaks even next year at $22.4 million. If they offer $22 million, he breaks even at $24.65. $25 million, he breaks even at $28.4 million. And so on and so on. I gave different ranges. And so the goal was to figure out like, where really is the max pain point where Josh Giddey is going to say, I'm not going to gamble because I need to make so much more next year just to break even. And then I'm taking the risk for no reason, right? Like he needs upside to do the gamble. Like he is not going to take the QO just to break even. And so if I were now to roll this forward, and I think at that time I said to me, if the Bulls offered $28 million a year, it would be a no-brainer for Josh Giddey. Like wouldn't even think about it. Like that's the worst the Bulls have to offer, where there's no way he's going to do better. You know, to me, I would say right now that no-brainer number is probably around 24 or 25 million, where he would need about 28 million, 28 and a half million next year to break even. Like I just don't think that there's like enough upside for him to want to do that. Based on the Athletic article, I don't know if you read that one, they interviewed representatives from 16 different teams, and the most anyone in that group said they would offer Josh Giddey was $25 million a year. And no one was willing to go $25 million a year for 5 years. It was like $25 million for 4 years was the most of any of the $25 million per year contracts. So, you know, it's a pretty good representation if you throw the Bulls into that mix. That's 17 of the 30 teams saying $25 million or less. I'm not sure how the cap situation is going to play out next year. But, you know, that means Josh's present-day value is around that number. If he takes the qualifying offer, too, the Bulls are going to be way less motivated to feature him because they know he's just going to leave at the end of the season as well. So, for me, I think it means if the Bulls offer $25 million a year, that Josh Giddey is going to say yes. I think that's up in the air. I think if I'm, it could go either way. I mean, any number could go either way. You don't know what Josh Giddey's mind is. But at 20, I think there's a very good chance he would just take the qualifying offer. You had like, I think it was like seven teams said they would offer 25. So at 20, the break-even point is 22.4. So you have seven teams already saying, yeah, we would pay this much. You know, so I feel like, you know, and then he believes in himself. So I think like you need to get to 25 where it's like, yeah, we're already offering you more. You're not going to break even. You have a good chance of not breaking even if you stay healthy. If you get hurt, you have real problems. And even if you improve a little bit, you may only just break even. So to me, I think 25 is the number he for sure says yes at, is kind of my guess right now. Anything less than that, I think the qualifying offer is a legitimate risk.
Man, oh man. If you're running the team, DT, and you have the option to continuing down this road at 20, and you're taking a risk, obviously, or, you know, offering 25, what do you do?
I mean, I had said previously 25 is the max I would offer him. So I'd be willing to move my offer up to 25 if I was Chicago. I think it's more than just the AAV, though. You start looking at the options, the years. Like what kind of commitment are you going to make to Josh Giddey? Do you want to go longer? Do you want to go shorter? You know, I had said this back in July. I don't know if we got to say it on the podcast because we may just not have recorded at the right time. But on July 13th, I believe, I tweeted or I posted on Real GM, if the Bulls wanted to make a real baller move, they should revoke the qualifying offer. That was the last day they could revoke the qualifying offer. And the reason they should have done that is because there is no team that could make a legitimate offer to Giddey except for the Brooklyn Nets. So the Bulls could have revoked the qualifying offer, and then they could have just thrown, like, hey, $22 million a year off. And what that would have done is would have forced Josh Giddey to basically play on something way less than the qualifying offer for a year if he could find it in order to try to maximize his value. And it would have significantly increased their leverage to have Josh sign the offer they want. And then the worst case for the Bulls is actually that he takes the qualifying offer. Because if you just signed somewhere else and you lost them for nothing, that's better than taking the qualifying offer. Because now you'll just, okay, we lost Josh Giddey. He really maybe wasn't that important anyway. We're just going to pivot to full rebuild. And then you trade Kobe, you trade Io. You know, there's a ton of star potential players in this draft. You aim for the draft, you get extra picks, you go full rebuild, and that's your alternate plan. But if you get Josh Giddey on the qualifying offer, that plan is now really hard to execute. I'm not sure if the 27 draft class is any good. So you're going to lose out on the really good 26 draft class. And then he's going to leave anyway. And now you still don't have assets. And you don't get the benefit of that good pick. So that was kind of like my plan that I knew no one would actually do. But I would have done if I ran the team.
What do you think is going to happen? What are you sensing right now?
I think he's going to sign for $25 million a year. I think it's going to be $25 million a year. And then what we're going to get hung up on is like, what type of options are in there and how long is the contract? And I don't know how that's going to go. And it's interesting because you could argue like which side wants the option. I mean, both sides always want an option, right? You always want a team option if you can get one. The player always wants a player option because the option protects each side. But like the number of years, like if I'm the Bulls, I would not take less than 3 years. So I would not do something like 2 years in a player option. I would demand at least 3 years. And the reason is it's like if I'm going to commit to Josh Giddey and I'm going to try and build all the special crap around him to make him work, I don't want to do that and then have him leave in 2 years. Like what are you going to do in the next 2 years anyway? That's like so exciting. So if you're going to commit, you want some long-term upside. So, you know, if I'm the Bulls, I would maybe even pay more. Like so we talked like 25 AAV. I might be willing to do 27 AAV, but it's a, you know, 4-year deal and the fourth year is a team option. And so if it doesn't work out, I can get out of it after 3 years. But if Josh Giddey makes, you know, big improvements, I'm now locked in for 4 years. So I think that the AAV could move based on who wins the option piece of this negotiation.
Good stuff, DT. I like the explanation. I do feel though, like, at this point, you got to keep him.
Well, you're going to keep him. You're going to keep him. There's no question about that, right? Like, it's either going to be a one year in the qualifying offer or on a longer deal, but he's going to be back this year. I mean, I guess I would say there's rumors that teams are willing to sign and trade for him. If I was the Bulls, I would absolutely explore those rumors and see what someone is willing to pay me in compensation. And like, I'm not confident you can build something with Josh Giddey. So if someone is willing to give me like, oh, here's a first round pick and, you know, maybe like a rehab player, a young guy that's not so great, but, you know, kind of like Josh Giddey was when he came here, right? Like they're kind of on the low ebb of his potential value in a pick or something, like, yeah, I'd maybe just do that trade and pivot to full rebuild. Like I have no confidence you're going to build anything meaningful with Josh Giddey. So I would be way more open to looking at alternative scenarios. Like I'm going to say, and I think this is crazy. I know you don't really read Real GM, Bulls Forum. I spend a lot of time on. There have been over 200 pages of posts on Josh Giddey. I want to say it's either 15 or 20 posts per page. Let's just say it's 15. There have been 3,000 posts about Josh Giddey since free agency started. It's like insane. It's an insane number. Like there's actually not that many people on the forum really anymore. Forums are dying, but it's an insane amount of content for a guy who's like fit to be the fourth best guy in a championship team. Like I do not understand how people can be like so hyped one way or the other about a guy like, all right, maybe if everything works out, he's the third best guy on a championship team.
Like, I think everything works out. Doug, if he plays like he did at the end of last year.
He's the third best guy in a championship team.
Yeah, second best. That was really
get
good.
Get the stuff. Hell out of here. There's no way. There's no way. Yeah, you replace Scottie Pippen with Josh Giddey at the end of the year in the Bulls.
If he shoots 46% from three, if he shoots,
you already know that's not going to happen. That's so ridiculous. What do you think the odds of him shooting over 40% from three are next year?
They're pretty low, but I will say like,
then don't even talk about it. Like, you know, it's not going to happen. Like it's ridiculous. No, you replace Scottie Pippen with Josh Giddey. How many titles do the Bulls win? Sure as hell ain't six. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they'd win several though.
Maybe
many.
Jordan.
Absolutely.
So all we need is
you're
Michael
talking to
Jordan.
The wrong guy in this.
This might be true. I think they might win zero. If you replace Scott, you'd put him with Josh Giddey, to be honest.
No, they'd win five. They'd win five. Maybe
get out of here. Get out of here.
After Pippen choked,
probably one probably seven.
Who knows?
It probably seven titles. Might have been seven. Might have been eight. Who knows? Could be 10. Probably would have carried them the titles while Jordan retired. You've become the biggest Gideon of them all. I'm gonna get you a shirt. Biggest Gideon.
I love it. I'm a Gideon. I love it because he's definitely like I'm definitely a lot warmer to the. I just don't want him to leave. You know, like for $5 million. Like I agree. Hey, at this point, there's no way they should be signing him for 30, but $25 million is fine for me. 4 years.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. Ball. I'm fine with that too. I've said the same thing. Like $25 million to me pays him as like the fourth best guy in a championship team. And he's going to play like the role of like best guy on the Bulls or second best guy on the Bulls, depending how you feel about him and Coby White, for a year or two. And then hopefully Modest Bouzelis takes over that and he becomes the third best guy. And whatever, but we'll see. But like he's going to play
fourth behind the Coral.
Behind a Coral. If we replace Scottie Pippen with a Coro, how many championships do the Bulls win?
Oh, I'm telling you, we'd probably start winning in 87 if we had a Coro. I mean, he would have shut down Joe Dumars. They're not doing jack. And on this note, Doug, I hate to do this. I got to lay down. My left side's killing me. So right, I got to bring the bus in. We're going to bring the bus in. We already did 40 minutes. It's pretty good. Yeah, just off the cuff. And a lot of different topics. And the first question I want you to ask the GOAT on Friday, GOAT, I need your help. When you see these guys, you got to ask them. Can you imagine that? The first question at camp is not, you know, Josh, how you feeling? You know, how was your summer? It's you can start with that second question. Do you wear a cup? Every guy, ask them and see what they say. Right. And if there's one guy in the team, I'm going to buy his jersey. That's how I feel strongly.
Do you think it's more likely that Josh Giddey shoots 40% from three this year? Or that I ask this question on the podcast.
I thought you were going to say, or that he wears a cup.
On Friday. That's also, of those three things, which you think is most likely?
I got news for you, Doug. I bet you this is the story that the GOAT is looking for. He didn't wear a cup until the All-Star break. After the All-Star break, he's wearing a cup. That's the story. That's the key. Oh, my God. Would that be something? Oh, my God. I really think I'd have supernatural powers if I was
able to figure that out. I would laugh my ass off if that turned out to be true. This is why they need to get you on the show. You would just come with this question. I'm going to bring some type of analytics. You would just be like, so I know you want to talk about Josh Giddey's contracts, but, you know, I was thinking about this story, going to the long thing about, you know, I was dating, you know, this overweight girl and then I had a cup and we'd just be like, where is he going with this?
On that note, let's bring the bus in. DT, it's always good to talk to you, my man. It's always good to talk to you. And I think we learned a lot.
Until next time, go Bulls.
Until next time, let's go Bulls. Good luck on Friday. Say hi to those guys. Love them all. And I'll talk to you again soon, DT. All right, man.